the invitation, come whosoever will, praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. Hallelujah. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Dear Lord, set aside once again for us together, as a family of God, make possible, Lord, by your only begotten Son, the firstborn among many brethren, and so we are, Father, before thee stands. That in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we approach thee to hear thy word, and that thou, Lord, open our hearts to learn. Create, O Lord, a thirst for thy word, Lord, for the knowledge of thy truth. And Lord, that our spiritual man may be quenched, O Lord, the thirst for righteousness, O Lord, might be full in us, Father, that we manifest the life of Jesus Christ now in this hour that we live in. We thank you, Father, for this time set aside for us. And dear Lord, we are here present before you to receive a blessing from you, Lord, not in material things, Father, but in the spiritual things of God. So bless this day now, bless this hour, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right now, I might have forgotten to. Is that? Just a minute. I must have forgotten to open up this one here now. Okay, this is the one. I forgot. I thought it's not there. All right. Now we are going to deal with Israel's true calendar and Sabbath. Now this chart that you see on the screen here, it's available to you on the website. You can download it and print it and study it. And we're going to talk about this. It is called Israel's True Calendar and Sabbath. I have been asked many questions, and I believe that many of us, in a sense, we all know that being taught that the Sabbath was day of rest, and that Sabbath was supposed to be Saturday. And traditional-wise, those Sabbath day keepers, they were taught by that system by asking a question to them, where in the New Testament do you find a place or do you find a verse that states that the Sabbath day was done away with? And they were asked for the question that is to say that where in the New Testament can you prove that the Ten Commandments of the Lord given to the children of Israel was actually done away with? So by asking that question, you will not find any New Testament that you find a verse and say, you know, the Ten Commandments is done away with, the Sabbath day is done away with. So for this, they will say, if there is not such a verse, then we must therefore keep the Sabbath. For this is a commandment of God that was given to the children of Israel. So that's how the reason to where they have to keep Saturday to them as a Sabbath day. Now, we want to see this, that when we use the word Sabbath in the Bible, we must understand that the word Sabbath means rest. It is not about a day, it's about rest. Is it understood? So you say, I keep the Sabbath, means I keep the rest. It does not mean, say, I keep the Sabbath means I keep a rest day. It does not mean that. You see, understood. Now, let us look at the other chart, which is a Jewish day, as compared to our day. Now, if we look at this chart here, this is the day that we all know. Sunday started with being the first day to Saturday being the last of the seventh weekly day. And this was this name, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, of course, was a Roman name. They all came from the Roman calendar. Saturday means Saturn's day. You know Saturn? That planet called Saturn. The Monday, I believe, is supposed to be the moon day, whatever it is, the sun is a Sunday, and things like that. Thursday is the day of Thor, if I'm not mistaken. You know, the Thor, the god of lightning and thunder, whatever he is, has this lightning bolt, things in his hand. So these are all number according, these are days according to the Roman calendar. Now, the Jew don't use this. It's only that because this is already a calendar used, so they have reference to the new calendar. But originally we know is that the Jew is counting in the Bible. You always count in the Bible, that the Bible always says the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, sixth day, and the seventh. You understand? That's what we find in the Bible, the way it is written. But sometimes, of course, they use the first day of the week, as it's said. But the word week is never used in the original. The word week is the way we are understood as week. But in the original, he says seventh. Seven. Okay? Counting seven. So means to God, it's a set of seven. It's nothing to do with week as we have today. Now, of course, in the Hebrew Bible, they always say Yom Roshun, Yom Shani, Yom Shri, and then Yom Revi'i, Yom Kamishi, Yom Hashishi, Shabbat. So that is the way they were called, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh, and the sixth, and the rest day. That's what they have. You understand that? Okay, now if you look at the second of the other chart, and this is the month of the calendar of Israel. Now, on the left here, you have the name that is Babylonian. Don't forget that when the children of Israel were made captive, they were taken to Babylon for 70 years. So while they were in Babylon, after you are slave there, you live there, you eat there, and you probably dress like them. Like Sister Yen Hu, when she went to Nepal and liked that place there, she dressed like the Nepalese. You know? So, it's something like that. And why do we dress the way we dress today? Because we are influenced by the West. This is not our dress, actually. Our dress in ancient times is not like that. You see? And the Indian, of course, they wear sari and the londe and whatever that is anyway. Then, of course, today the Indian, influenced by the British, of course, and also they dress like the West. You know? So this is the influence. So the children of Israel have the name of the month. But because after they lived so long there, they came out, they completely lost their calendar. So, when they have the calendar, they used the name of the Babylonian calendar. Now, here is Nisan, as you know, the first month. But in Hebrew, it's Koyebib. Is that right? So, they call Nisan, Yod, Sebam, Tammuz, Adar, Elul, and so on. But the Babylonian calendar, of course, is Koyebib, Zif, and then, of course, the third month. Sometimes they use some kind of name to Pentecostal month or whatever they will use it. Do you see that? Okay, now go up and lift it up to the seventh month. Okay, seventh month is Tishri. Alright, Shivam, Kislev, Tavat, Shavah, Adar. And then you have another month, or 13 month added. Now this is the calendar when the children of Israel came out of Babylon. This is how the calendar would be. They have 29 days. in the odd number month. It means first month, third month, fifth month, seventh month. They all have 30 days. The even months are 29 days. So when they came out of Babylon, they have that kind of calendar, and the calendar is based on 354 days a year, which is based on the lunisolar system. You know what is solar, right? Solar means the sun. Lunar means the lunar year as a Chinese calendar, and I think even the Arab also use that lunar year in a calendar. You see? And so that's how our Chinese New Year's will move up and down. So after so many years, they add a month or add a few days, pop, and then it goes back to February, but you come down to March and then pop back again, things like that, right? You see? So that's the calendar that the children of Israel were using when they came out of captivity. And handed down to these days. Of course, there were some changes. So every They had this month here. Every additional month was added during leap years. Every third year or fourth year, they would add a month. Kind of odd, isn't it? So that they could force it back to the season. And there are seven leap years in a 19-year cycle. So, you see how messed up everything has been after man fall, and sin against the Lord. And okay? So, this is what we see today. Now, we are not going to bother about this thing. Alright? Because everything has been corrupt. Because when children of Israel sinned against God, their sin multiplied until they lost everything. They lost, they even know their laws, they don't even know the word of Moses, they don't even know, you know, some of those prophetic books. They lost completely when they went into captivity. And worse still, when they came out, they are using the Babylonian language. Obviously, of course. And those they were made captive down in Assyria, they learned the Assyrian language. Those who were in Egypt, they even learned Egyptian. You know. And they speak Greek. Hellenist lifestyle they follow. And that's what actually happened then. You see. Alright. So, that's the problem we have on this. But we want to look into the original to understand whether the Sabbath day, was it actually a weekly Sabbath? Was there something as a weekly Sabbath? Was it on a fixed day of the week as it has been accepted today? Or was the Sabbath, you know, a fixed day of the year? You got it? On fixed days of the year, that means you cannot change. For example, we have January the 1st, it's always a new year. You cannot change that. Right? Chinese New Year, what day is it? Can anybody tell me? You can tell. Why? Because it's not fixed on the day of the year. It changes. And they base it on the season, on the lunar. And that's why you see you have a problem. You know why the calendar is called loony calendar? You know what loony is? Lunatic. You know what lunatics are? You know what lunatics are? Why are people who are mad called lunatics? It's because when the moon comes out, they ooh, and then they go crazy and you get lunatics. That's why when the moon has an effect on a lot of people, that's why people have stories about werewolf, empire, and people have all kinds of behavior. It's because of the influence of the moon. You see, high tide and low tide based by the moon. So that's why they call it loony solar calendar. And so because of all this loony thing, everything is confused. Alright? Just as the lunatics is confused, so is this. Alright, let's go back then and look at Israel's true calendar chart. Let us look at, highlight this. Okay, that's good enough. No, highlight all this. Now, there are altogether 12 months in a year, as you all know. Alright, that's AB, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, or this is R. AB, you know, the first two alphabets of the Hebrew calendar, letters. First two letters are Hebrew alphabet. Alright? Aleph Beth. Alright? Alph. So this is what actually means father. Elud. Alright? Tishri. Bu. Chishliu. And Tabav. Shabav. Ada. So, you know how to pronounce all that. Now, this is the calendar we believe to be the original calendar that God gave to Moses. Now, when God created the heavens and the earth, the sun shows light upon the earth 12 hours in a day, and as it revolves, the earth revolves around the sun, on the other side it becomes dark. So you get 12 hours of darkness. So then by common sense, if God, nobody likes to work with 0.25, 0.28, all this calculation, huh? This is all man, because, everything, like God in the Bible, we find that it's 144,000, 12, and 7. So it must be a fixed number. So the earth revolves around the sun in a circle, and since it is having 12 hours of light and 12 hours of darkness, the earth is definitely perpendicular on its axis to the sun. Alright? And of course, a lot of people don't know about this, huh? Okay, a lot of people doesn't know. Even a lot of Christians don't know about that. That is true. Even the scientists do not believe that it was like that originally. But this is the original. From what we understand from the Bible, that's, what the Bible gives us the answer if we can look and understand, learn and understand. So it revolves, it spins around on its axis, very stable. Beginning, as I said, when it's straight, alright, it has to be stable. Okay, if you ever play a top, when it's stable and doesn't wobble, it will spin for a long, long time. Alright, but once it starts to, out of balance, it wobbles, it will drop off fast from the spinning. So, with it on its axis revolving around the sun, it must be 360 days. There is a 360 degree. Alright? So, it has to be 360 days in a year. So, there is no problem. So, if it is 360 days in a year, that means to say there are 12 months, it has to be 30 days in a month. Now, that's pure common sense. No argument about that. Right? So, of course, when God put Adam on the earth, and Eve on the earth, sin came, but the earth still was still perfect, no problem. Alright, so how did the people in those days reckon time? How did they count the day? Well, the sunset, sunrise, one day, 2 days, isn't it? They don't have, let me see a watch, brother. They have no watch in those days. They probably don't have sundial back then, Because after all, they don't need it. They see the sun, okay, sunset, let's go eat, go sleep. Alright, sunrise, let's go out, work. High noon, okay, time for lunch. Is that right? Oh, the sun is at an angle, almost, center of 45 degree or whatever it is, time for tea. And things like that. You see, so they're based on this sunrise, sunset thing. Okay? But what happened then when this, the wickedness of man multiplied? When God sent the flood, and after the flood, that is what happened. The earth began to be tilted. Water is too much, so the earth began to tilt and slant. So when it's tilted, it spins, it wobbles. That gives me the understanding that actually like a top. When I first discovered that, when I was studying, so why did the earth today have 365 and a quarter days? A year. Then I realized, even though it was going around the sun, there's no reason for it to be that unless there is a wobbling. And when you wobble, it slows down. Okay? It has a drag. So as it revolves around the sun. Now, to some theory is that God pushed the earth a little bit further away from the sun. So it takes a bit, the circle, the revolution is long. It takes a longer period to make one complete circle. You see, but why would God push that out? If God start pushing all the planet out of alignment, the whole solar system will be out of alignment. God is a great mathematician. He knows how to calculate and keep the thing in the proper way, right? But when this thing wobbles, so it drags and goes on and on, extra 5 1/4 days a year. Okay, now that's the reason why we, in the Bible, we don't find a calendar that says 360 days. We don't have a calendar 360 days because the calendar was never introduced back then. Alright? It's only in Exodus that we found that when the children of Israel were, led out of Egypt, then God gave them a calendar. Is that right? So now if you say, when God gave Israel a new calendar, gave it to Moses, the first month was Abib or Nisan. Was it therefore that the first day of Nisan, was it corresponding, you know, does it correspond to the very first day when God created the heavens and the earth? And some people like to reason, huh? You know, well, that doesn't matter. If you want to reason that way, it doesn't matter to me. Okay? But we understand that the Bible said it was the first day of the first month. And God said to give it to Moses as a new calendar. Okay, beginning of the month. Alright now, here there are a few things to take note. The Hebrew word for month, chodesh, it has often been translated as new moon. Now that is what is found in the Bible. In the Bible many places, new moon, new moon, new moon. But it is not really new moon. Okay? Chodesh means, well, it's just new month. Sometimes people like actually base, you know. The Bible forbids, God forbids stargazing. God forbids, looking at the moon or looking at the sun for some sort of guidance, you know, and get themselves to a state where they worship it. Do you understand that? You see? You know? And we don't. Like some people will, some religion they do. Take for example now, the children of Israel don't base their period of the harvest or their worship. Huh? Okay? But today they do. But they don't look at the moon or the sun. They look at the barley. If the barley is not matured, then they cannot start the season of the Passover. Some to their extent. You see? Because the earth is already out of alignment. Okay? The season is always changing. Okay? Either late or early and so on. So some of them, based on that, looking at the barley harvest. Alright? But when the Bible translates new moon, look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, 1 to 9. Alright? There are quite a number of scriptures to turn to, so we need to turn to it and read it. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 1 to 9. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statute and unto the judgment which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your father giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish out of it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen that the Lord did because of Baal Peor. And for all the men that follow Baal Peor, the Lord thy God have destroyed them from among you. But ye that declare unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you these days. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the southern nation which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who have God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that have statute and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest you forget the thing which the eye have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy son and thy son's son. So this is a warning that God gave them. They don't follow the way of the nations of people around, how they do and conduct their systems and their worship and so on. Alright, verse 17, chapter 17. Chapter 17 and verse 2 to 5. If there be found among you within any of thy gate which the Lord thy God hath given thee, man or woman that have wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in trespassing his covenant, and have gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any of the hosts of heaven which I have not commanded. And it be told thee, and thou hast heard it, and inquired diligently, and behold it to be it be true, and the thing certain that such abomination is wroth in Israel, then thou shalt bring forth that man or woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or woman, and thou shalt stone them with stone till they die. So they dispatched one punishment by death for those who do stargazing, moon gazing, or whatever. Second Kings, and chapter 23, verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priests, whom the king of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the city of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. Now it is not just that the Roman people worships the planets. This is back in the days of the kings. You know, the Canaanites and other nations, they do worship the planets too, you know. Huh? What is the well-known planet the people worship back then, in the days of the Romans and the Greek and whatever? A well-known planet. Oh, Venus. And that's what I know. Venus, you know, it must be a goddess. You know that, don't you? No, that's what they do. They worship. Alright? So now, when we look at this, then we realize that the calendar is not based on gazing the stars, the moon, or the sun, or whatever it is. Now, we come to the point, the next point to take note is that about the Sabbath. There are different kinds of Sabbath. We can read in the Bible. Okay, what we have is the first Sabbath. What is the first Sabbath? Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. Alright, Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. And on the sixth day, God ended His word. And I always read what I should read. Huh? If you think that I'm reading wrong, then you... Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. Alright, 2 to 3. And on the sixth day, right, sixth day, not seventh, on the sixth day, God ended His work. He didn't end His work on the seventh day. He ended the work of God, He ended His work on the sixth day. Seventh day is written in the Bible, is wrong. He ended His work on the sixth day which He had made, and He rested on the seventh. So if He ended His work on the seventh day and rested on the seventh day, what does that mean? You're still working on the seventh day and resting on the seventh day. Can you work and rest on the same day? No. So you can just cross the word seventh day and put six. I'm telling you the truth. Okay? Alright. That's six. You understand? Alright. And God rested on, and on the sixth day God ended His work, which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work, which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God had created and made. The word rested means Sabbath. He take the Sabbath. Got it? Huh? Alright, so you know King James translation problematic, and maybe some or the other translation just simply following what King James did. I don't blame on King James, the people in King James. It's time anyway. Alright. That is the creation Sabbath. Now we have the Hebrew Sabbath. Alright, we look at the Hebrew Sabbath, which is in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and verse 3. Alright. Thou shalt have no other God before me, but that is the commandment that is given them. And thou shalt not make unto thee graven images, any likeness of thing that is in heaven above and is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow them down thyself to them, nor serve them. Now this is very clear. Don't you go and bow down before a serpent, or a peacock, or a cow, or an elephant, or even a picture that look of a painting of Jesus Christ. Don't ever bow down before any images. And for that reason, because of this, there are certain churches that forbid, alright, even photographs to be in the house. You cannot put up your own photograph, your marriage photograph, no such thing. They don't have it. To them that is images. And the Bible says, thou shalt not have graven images. So that's the mentality. So no figurine. That means you cannot go out there and buy porcelain of horses or pig or whatever and decorate the house. No! That is graven images! I'm telling you the truth, that is some of the denomination. They are so, you know, confused. You understand that? Alright? And for I am the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, be seen iniquity of the father unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that have hate me, and show unto me mercy thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Now do that. He didn't say this. Look at it. Verse 9. Six days of the week thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Do you find that in the Bible? Do you find that in verse 9? 6 days of the week shall you labor. Do you find that in the Bible? Do you? No! You're not paying attention to what your Bible... Okay, 6 days of the week thou shalt labor. No, the word week doesn't appear. It didn't say 6 days of the seventh. The Bible did not say that. The word week, translated in many of the part of the Bible, is week is actually wrong. Actually, it's put seventh. You understand? Seventh. It didn't say 6 days of seventh thou shalt labor. God never used the word even seven here. It just says 6 days you shall labor, and on the seventh you rest. Okay, he just said that. But if he says 6 days of a week, the way that we have understood it today, as many are understood today, and rest on the seventh, then you will think, okay, it's actually a week fixed on the seventh. So the Sabbath is fixed on the last day. But the Bible didn't give you anything like that. It's because of the tradition, because of what happened to the calendar, that this is incorporated into it today. Alright? Yes, God worked in the cycles of seven. But he never used the word week in that sense as we know it today. Okay? He just said 6 days. He didn't even say 6 days of the seventh. You understand? 6 days you work. So you have to work 6 days, seventh you rest. 6 days, seventh you rest. Alright? You understand? And in verse 10, for 7 days the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, he didn't say seventh day of the week either. He didn't say seventh day of the seventh. You understand? Okay, because that's what the word week, which has translated the Bible many times, taken from the word seven. It is a seventh day of the seventh. It is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, nor thy son, nor thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger is within thy gate. For in 6 days God hath made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed, and honor the Father, and so on. This is the rest of the commandment. You understand? So this is the Sabbath that God gave to the children of Israel. Okay? Because after he woke, God had created the heaven and earth for 6 days. On the seventh, he rests. So he did the same to the children of Israel. You have to work for 6 days. On the seventh, you rest. Alright. Okay. Then we have the Christian Sabbath. Hebrews chapter 4. So in case you don't understand, Hebrews chapter 4, that we have the Christian Sabbath. And I believe that that is where many Christians actually missed out on it. And especially Sabbath day Adventists, believers and all the Sabbath day keepers, they still hold on to keeping this Sabbath as if by not keeping it, they are not believers, so to speak. Alright, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4 to 9. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And the Lord did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a day, a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus or Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. So here he's talking about a Christian spiritual rest. You understand? Now, the children of Israel have entered into Canaan land, where they're supposed to find the rest there. But that is not the rest that God is actually giving when he promised to Abraham a promised son, to whom will take away all this, the sin and the wickedness of man by fulfilling all that was required in the law. Because if, as long as the law is not fulfilled, it speaks to man of sin. So, and since no man was able to fulfill it, Christ came, fulfilled it. So when he fulfilled that, the law therefore which has become a burden, isn't all right, keeping the law is actually a burden. You see? And that law therefore was fulfilled by Christ. Christ carried all that law, and any law that would be contrary to us, and hanging upon the cross. Do you understand? Okay? And then when he does that, we know in the Bible, Jesus many times says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Is that right? Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. So he was the rest. He was the Sabbath. Not the Sabbath day. He was the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is nothing to do with a day. The Sabbath, in reality, in the spiritual sense, is a spiritual person. And that is Christ. You go to Christ, you give your life to him, you find rest in him. You understand that? So that is what we have as a Christian Sabbath. Okay, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 95. Psalms 95 and verse 8. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. And as in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your father tempted me, provoked me, and saw my work. So you, 40 years long, was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swore in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. Children of Israel never saw Christ or the Messiah the way that they should see him. So they never enter into the rest of God that God promised them. Alright? Okay, now, the third point we want to remember is that the Bible specifically said, let's go to the book of Leviticus 23 here, and use that verse. Leviticus 23 and verse 3. Well, we read, of course, in the book of Exodus, but let us read this one here. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. A holy convocation. You do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. The Sabbath of the Lord. That day is consecrated as a rest day. But the rest is the rest of God. You got it. 6 days you have to labor. Okay, so that is the law. So now, the third point to remember is the 6 days of labor. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Now, not every seventh day of the week, okay? Just always remember 6 days and then the seventh. Alright? As I said, the word week doesn't appear. It comes from the Hebrew word, which means Sabbath, which means actually Shabuah. Means seven. Between the Sabbath. Okay? Now, so here's one thing that we need to know. That when we look into the Bible now, we need to realize that the Bible's Sabbath are on fixed days of the year, not on fixed days of the week. What does Sabbath in another way mean? It means a cessation from work. A cessation from work. So when you cease, when now let's say you work after your office, work you go home and you rest. So that is your Sabbath. I know it's 1 hour, 2 hours, I'm taking my Sabbath. That sort of thing, you know. So that's what the word Sabbath means, alright? So the line of time is not fixed. It's not 24 hours, it's not fixed. So Sabbath can be 1 day, 2 days, 1 minute, 2 minutes, alright? And so on, okay? So now we look into the, we already checked on the Bible that already we know from the Exodus chapter 20 that the Sabbath is 1 day long. 6 days you labor, 7 you rest, okay? That is 1 day long, okay? And also the Sabbath can be a rest of 2 days long. You all know that, don't you? Okay, let's go to Leviticus 23 and read verse 15. Alright, Leviticus 23:15. And you shall call unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought up the sheep of the wave offering, 7 Sabbath shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7 Sabbath, so you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out all of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 10 deals. There shall be a fine flour and shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruit unto the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lamb without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, 2 rams for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat offering and the drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goat for a sin offering, the lamb, the 2 lambs of the first year for the sacrifice of peace offering, and the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first year for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the south same day that it may be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwelling throughout your generation. So what day is that? The morrow after the Sabbath, you count 49 days. 7 Sabbaths have passed. And then on the day after the Sabbath, you shall offer these sacrifices. And it shall also be a Sabbath. Let's look at the chart. And we will show you. I will show you here. Now here is the 10th day of Abib. Moses was told by God to take a lamb without blemish and keep it on the 10th day until the 14th day. And on the 14th day at evening time, okay, shall be your Sabbath. And this is also the Passover. So this 14th day is the Passover day at evening time, where it means to say it started the Sabbath. It shall be a Sabbath unto you. You understand? So from the 15th onwards, okay, for 7 days, it shall be a time of unleavened bread, the feast of unleavened bread. You understand? So the Bible now says you count the morrow after the Sabbath. The morrow after the Sabbath, you count 49 days and you come to the 4th of Sivan. Therefore, you will have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Sabbath, including. Okay? The morrow after this Sabbath, you count 49 days. Then you will have how many Sabbath will you have? You will have 7 Sabbath. Okay? So, 7 Sabbath. So the day after the Sabbath, you shall take this lamb, all this is required here, as Moses said, as God told Moses. And then that day also will be a holy convocation. That day will also be a day you don't work. That means it's also a Sabbath. So you will have 2 days long. 24 hours here, 24 hours here. You got it? Okay? So, this day here, what day? This is 49 day. 49 day from where? From the past, the day of the Passover. Okay? Alright, so what day is this? It's called the 50th day, right? What is 50th day? What feast is that? Feast of Pentecost! Hello? You haven't forgotten. the seven feasts of Jehovah. Don't tell me we have to go back and restudy the whole feast of Jehovah. Okay, the first feast of Jehovah. Now, there are seven feasts of Jehovah, right? Or is it there eight? How many feasts of Jehovah are there? There are seven. Remember, God always deals with seven. Okay? And the seven feasts is divided into two parts. The first part already has been fulfilled, which is the first four feasts. The first four feasts have been fulfilled. And there are three more feasts yet to be fulfilled. The first four feasts are all happening. It starts from the first month. That's why it starts from the first month. And we have this lamb cap. The Passover was the first feast. Followed by the Sabbath for 7 days. Unleavened bread. Feast of unleavened bread. You got it? But immediately on the 16th, okay, the day after the Sabbath is the day of wave offering. That's when Christ resurrected. Who brought the blood before the Lord and waved it before the Lord. Are you sure? You know that, don't you? So three feasts is gone. But this feast of the Passover is connected all the way to the 50th day. What day is that? Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit returned. Christ died. Christ sleep. Rest. He's the Sabbath. Remember, He's the Passover. He's the Sabbath. And He is the first fruit. But He must return. And return what day? 50th day, 50 days later. And that is Pentecost. So the first four feasts is all gone, fulfilled already. In the first 6 months. It's actually in the first 3 months, actually, but it's always... This is actually, the first 6 months is religious month. The second begins with the seventh month, which is the civil month, starting there. Alright, come on. Now, next time I ask you, you should know, okay, don't get lost. This, hey, we are poly Jew, you know. Okay, we got a Bible from them, you know. Alright. Okay. So we have that, the Sabbath day, 2 days long. Then we have a Sabbath day, a Sabbath that is 1 year long. 1 year long. Okay, Leviticus 25, chapter 25, verse 4. Verse 3, we say, in the 6 years shall thou sow thy field. 6 years you shall prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. But today, do the people obey this law? Do the people obey this law? Oh my. Just imagine, you let the rain to rest for 1 whole year. But today, it's not commercially viable. Like today, a lot of people, those who have shops or stores, Sunday must open for business. You know, Sunday is the best day to earn money. Right? You all know that, don't you? You know, if I don't open on Sunday, my day's taking is gone. You see? So that's the problem. But to God, you work 6 days rest, the seventh. You labor the field for 6 years, completely 6 years you do it. Because God cannot say you sow and you reap for 6 days and 7 days you let the land rest. It's not possible. The fruit and your seed that you sow doesn't sow for the first day you sow, and then second day you start growing, and then you can harvest it on the fifth day, and then sixth day you can close up, and 7 day you rest. The crop doesn't do that. So you harvest, you plant, and you sow, you reap, whatever, in your land for 6 years. On the seventh year, let it rest. You know, the land need to rest too, you know. That's why the land is not fertile. People keep on sucking off the earth, all the rare earth. You know, rare earth, today talking about rare earth. Until there is no more vitamins in the earth. You see, so you got to let it rest for 1 year. That's what the Bible says. Okay. Alright, now, And I rest for 2 years. Wow, 2 years now. You let the land rest for 2 years. Wow, that's terribly long, huh? Okay, let us go and look at it. Leviticus 25, verse 8. Okay? All right. Now, let us read from, let us read where we left off. Verse 4 onward. But the 7 years shall be a Sabbath, and of rest unto the land. A Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow nor prune thy vineyard. That which grow of its own accord of thy harvest, shall thou not reap, neither gather the grape of thy vineyard and rest. For it is a year of rest unto the Lord. And the Sabbath of the land shall be food for you, for thee and for thy servants and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger, the sojourn with thee. And for thy cattle and for the beasts that are in the field shall all the increase thereof be meat. That means you let the land rest. The land when it rests, don't worry, they will still produce food and whatsoever on it. You can just take it easy. You don't have to go and prune it. Don't prune it. They are growing wild. You can have it for food. Give it to the stranger. Give it to your cattle, your animals. All right. Verse 8. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbath of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbath of years shall be unto thee 49. Now, it's the same thing, right? Remember 49 again? 7 Sabbath. From one Sabbath to another Sabbath, it's 7. Is that right? Yes, sir. Are you following me? Okay? From one Sabbath to another Sabbath is 7 days. So another Sabbath, another 7 days. So 7 Sabbath, a total of 49 days. Right? Now this is 7 Sabbath of year. So it's 49 year. Yes. So 49 years is a Sabbath. So that year, the 49th year is a Sabbath. Again, what the Bible said, the 50th year is also a Sabbath. And thou shalt hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty to all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be, and you shall not sow nor reap that which grow of itself in it, nor gather the grape of thy vine undressed. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy unto you, you shall eat the increase thereof of the field. Alright, so and so on. So, don't go and, you see a plant there and you want to go and dress it. No, leave it. You're not supposed to walk on that line. You understand? So, 2 years long of Sabbath for the field. But God will let the land rest and whatever He rejuvenate, there will be crops growing out, there will be food. Just take whatever you is there for your food. The land will be food for you. You don't have to worry. Now, do you think we can keep this commandment if you are a farmer? If you are a farmer, do you think you can... I don't know about the Amish. I'm sure whether the Amish practice this or not. You know? To be able to do that and 6 years or 7 years rest, I'm not sure whether they practice that though. But today, of course, it's so much different. You know, we're not, of course, have to keep this kind of law. But if you were to practice what is there, just like the Seventh-day Adventists, they eat healthy food, huh? You know, they don't eat meat, and they're all vegetarian, and they're healthy, very healthy people. All right. So now we have, a rest, 70 years long. Wow, 70 years long. Anybody want to retire for 70 years? Oh, for 30 years and rest of us. 70 years to 100 years old. Now, this is not talking about physical rest. This is the rest of what? Okay, you know. We go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 36 and 21. So you now understand, so that you may understand that the word Sabbath has nothing to do with days. It has to do with rest. And the rest can be, well, so many years. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 21. Alright, verse 20. To them that had escaped from the sword carried away he to Babylon, they were servants to him and his sons under the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Jeremiah by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 70 years. 70 plus 10, 70. So what Sabbath is that? It's a Sabbath for what? For the whole land of Israel. Why? Because all the inhabitants of Israel were taken captive to Babylon. Right? Yes or no? And by the word of Jeremiah, Babylon said that these people will be taken captive to Babylon. The land will have its rest because there's no inhabitants there to deal with. So the land have rest for 70 years. I think the land really enjoy it. Because there's too much killing and too much wickedness of people. You know, so now you understand that. Okay, now there are 12 months of 30 days in a year. How do we know that there are actually 12 months, 30 days in a year? Basically because what the Bible says in these scriptures here. Alright, Genesis 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's day, of Noah's life, in the 7th month, the 17th day of the month, the same day was all the fountain of the deep broken up, and the window of heavens was open. Then in chapter 8, verse 3 to 4, and the water returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the water was abated. And the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 7th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. So you see how God drawn up to 150 days. Okay. And then you go right down verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the water would dry up from all the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and look and behold, the face of the earth was dry. And in the 7th month, the 7th day and 20th day of the month, was the earth dry. So you can use this and gauge how, by the way that God speaks, it gives us the hint that that the month of the year is round up to 30. It cannot have a 29, it cannot have a 31. Alright? Okay, let us go again in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And we have verse 25. And he shall speak great word against the Most High, and shall wear out the sins of the Most High, and think to change times and law, and he shall be given unto his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of times. Okay? So now this is back in the days of Daniel. You got it? This is back in the days of Daniel. Talk about time, times, and half a time. 3.5 times. Now, it doesn't give us much to understand, but to go by. Okay, let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. Alright. And verse 6. And a woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of the Lord, that he shall feed her 1,260 days. Is that right? So we have 1,260 days. Now, in another place, in verse 14, and the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the desert unto her place where she is nourished for time, times and a half time. You see that again? So, Daniel spoke about time, times and a half times. Then here he speaks about the same time, times and half time, and then he says about 1,260 days. So if you take 1,620 days, you will have come to understanding that it's 30 days in a month. Divided. 30 days a month is 1,260 days is 3.5 years. Right? And it has to be based on 30 days in a month. That's how we can understand from this clue that originally when God deal with the creation, the earth is actually spinning around this earth, the sun 360 days in a year. 30 days in a month. All right. But now, 1 Kings 4, 7. 1 Kings 4, 7. Okay. From this chapter onward, Solomon had 12 officers, over obviously which provide virtual for the kings and the households. Each man, his month in the year, make province. So now, King Solomon, after he built his temple, he had this 12 officers that deal with, you know, the ministering in the temple. Okay? So how many months is there? How do we know there are 12 months? Because it says here, each man his month in the year. Okay, now go to the verse 8. It says the name of such and such, and then it goes right down to verse 10. Okay, let's see. Okay, let me go to another verse. 1 Chronicle. Alright, 1 Chronicle 27. Go to 1 Chronicle. 1 Chronicle 27. And verse 1 to 15. Okay. Now the children of Israel, after their number, to wit the chief fathers and captains of thousands and hundreds, the officers that served the king in any matter of the court of the courses, which came in and went out month by month throughout all the months of the year of every course, were 12,400. Okay. Verse 2. Over the first course, for the first month, such and such a person. Verse 4. And over the course of the second month, such and such a person. Verse 5. The third captain of the host for the third month was such and such a person. So verse 7, the fourth month. Verse 8, fifth month. Verse 9, sixth month. Verse 10, 7. Verse 11, 8. Verse 12, the ninth month. Verse 13, the tenth month. Verse 14, the 11th month. Verse 15, the 12th month. So there are only 12 months. So there were never 13 months. There was no such thing as 11 months either. So we know for sure it's 12 months and it has to be 13 days in a month. Got it? By looking at all this that we was shown to us. Okay? So that is to say that all these persons who minister by cause, just as Zechariah, or that is John the Baptist's father, right? When he was his time to minister. You see, so the month must be 30 days, 30 days, 30 days for all this, each person. Okay, that's how it is counted. Okay, now, alright, let us look at the chart quickly here. If you want to, you refer to Abib, verse 20, chapter 23. Abib chapter 23, verse 6, 7, and 11. The Bible clearly tells us that the 14th day of Abib, alright, 14th day of Abib is a Passover. We all know that, don't you? So if it is a Passover, what kind of day is it? It has to be a working day. So 14th day of Abib can never, never be a Sabbath. 1st of January has to be a new year. It has to be. No doubt about it. Because it's fixed. 25th December, it is fixed. It has to be a Christmas. Yes, no. Valentine's Day. What day is that? I don't know. What? 14th. Okay, so she knows because, you know. 14th of February is Valentine's Day. So it's fixed. You cannot change. Because they're fixed on the day of the year. Not the day of the week. Now my birthday is 12th this January. It can be a Monday, it can be a Sunday, it can be a Tuesday, right? But 12th January has to be my birthday. It doesn't matter what day it falls on. So it's fixed on that particular day. So the 14th of Abib, it's a Passover. And a Passover is the day that you have to, you know, prepare and do a lot of work there. Because on the 10th is the day when they take this lamb without blemish and kept it for 4 days. You understand? So all these are working days anyway. Alright. Then we have 15 of Abib. 15 of Abib is a Passover, isn't it? the day of the evening of the Passover, to the, there is because the evening, the day started just 6 hours before, right? You remember? Okay, so the 15th of Abib is always a Passover. You can never change. No matter what, 15th of Abib is a Passover. But today, of course, it's different. I don't know how they did that. It's always changing here and there. But if it is a Passover, it has to be a Passover. I mean, a Sabbath, it must be a Sabbath. You cannot change that day. So 15 is therefore a Sabbath. And 16 is always a working day. As the day when they wave the sheep offering. Okay? The first crops of the harvest. Okay, now it says here in Leviticus 23:15-16, that you call the morrow after the Sabbath. The morrow after the 15, okay, the day after the Sabbath here, 15, you count. Then you count 49. So when you count 49, it says 7 Sabbath would have been, there would be 7 Sabbath altogether. Correct? So 49, that means 22nd of Abib must be a Sabbath. You understand? Cannot run away. And 29 of Abib has to be a Sabbath also. So all these must be a Sabbath. And the 4th of Sivan have to be a Sabbath. Now, we get the benefit of the doubt, as I said, by creating this calendar this way, putting Saturday. Okay, since the Sabbath keeper said the Saturday is the Passover, okay? So we put six Saturday is Sabbath. So, okay, so 15 is a Sabbath here, right? Okay, so this must, 8 must be a Sabbath, correct? Right? So 1 must be a Sabbath, right? Yes? Okay, so 1, 8, 15, 22, 29 of Abib have to be a Sabbath. Okay, 6, 13, 20, 27 of the Av have to be a Sabbath. And then the 4th of Sivan, yes, it must be a Sabbath. And then the 50th day, Pentecost, is a Sabbath. Correct? Okay. So we fixed that. Okay, now, you notice one thing when you look at this chart. That if this is a Sabbath, and the 14th and the following day, the 50th day, Pentecost, is also a Sabbath. So you have a Sabbath that is 48 hours long, isn't it? Correct? Yes or no? So now the commandment comes in. 6 days you shall labor. Right? Okay, so you work 6 days. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Behold! The 12th is a Sabbath. You don't work. Okay, so this was a Sabbath. So I have another Sabbath. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And this one, 11 will be a Sabbath? No. You only work 5 days. Tapakeya doesn't count. Because the law says you work 6 days. That's the way it goes. 6 days means 6 days. Because, you know, that's the way God says 6 days thou shalt labor and the seventh you rest. So already you can't give an extra day of rest on the 5th of Sivan. So he said, oh, I'm not happy. Yeah, but you start to work 6 days again, you know. So now, the Sabbath has changed. It is no longer on a Saturday. It's on the Sunday, lo and behold. That's why, mysteriously, somehow or other, if you didn't see it, when Jesus died, what day was it when he died? It was a Friday, wasn't it? Okay, alright, good enough. They say it was a Friday. Okay, good enough, Friday. Right? Because according to the Roman calendar, remember how that the first chart we see, you know, the Monday, Tuesday thing, all that, was a Roman calendar. Okay, so it happened to be that Jesus Christ was crucified on a Friday, and he rose on a Sunday. There you go. Right? So that's why we worship on the Sunday. Why? Because that was the day when he presented himself to the Father. You understand? And also it was the day of Pentecost. Sunday happened to be also on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes. The day that Christ resurrected, the day that He came back, was a Sunday. So there's nothing so, but the Sabbath keeper said that because of what Daniel prophesied, that this wicked man, this Antichrist, this, you know, he will change time and law. And so they said the Pope changed time and law. And according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, the Pope said that we are the one that changed the worship from Saturday to Sunday. Yeah, they claim it, they said it, because they know how they deceive people. And people who keep Sabbath say, see, the Roman Catholic Pope, they are the one that changed the law from Saturday to Sunday, as they say. Was it true? To the Jew, yeah, those people who keep the Sabbath, yeah, he did change. But already, the only day before the Pope ever exists, in the book of Acts, they all worship on the first day of the week. What is the first day of the week? Because that time when they're living there, at that time, it was a Hellenist culture, it was a Roman calendar that they were using. So that's why he's always speaking in Greek using the first day of the week. Right? They no longer speak of the 24th day, 11th day, as you find it in the Old Testament. You understand that? You see? So the same thing when you go to China, you speak, you know, Chui Chui Ji Chui Sa, you know, that kind of language, what you probably understand. Alright? In India, probably they speak in some way also by what the term that they used. Do you understand? Today, of course, you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Right? Correct? So you understand that. So that the thing has changed. Okay, now. Let us go look at the seventh month. Let us look at Tishri. Now, in the book of Leviticus 23, verse 24 to 25. First of Tishri. What is the first of Tishri? If you read Leviticus 23, verse 24, let us read it. And we have verse 24. And 25. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpet, a holy convocation. So that is the fifth feast of Jehovah. And it started on the first of Tishri, the seventh month. How do I know that this, and the Bible says that the first of Tishri must be a Sabbath. Yes, it has to be a Sabbath, because it says so. Okay? Then it says in verse 34 to 39, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this month, of this seventh month, shall be a feast of tabernacle, for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation, do no servile work. 7 days you shall offer an offering, and on the 8th day shall be a holy convocation. So 15 and 22. Okay? Sabbath. Right? So if first is Sabbath, 15 Sabbath, 22 Sabbath, 8 must be a Sabbath. Am I right? So 29 must be a Sabbath. And so on. Okay, good enough. Now, second, Leviticus 23, verse 27 now. Verse 27. And on the 10th day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you. Oh, so now we are in trouble. So on the 10th day here, it's also a Sabbath. Now we are confused here, huh? But look what it says. And you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. You shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Ah, so it's not a day of rest, actually, it's a day where you fast and make atonement. You know that? Huh? Verse 29, for whosoever so is, it be that shall not be afflicted in the same day, ye shall be cut off from among the people. When whosoever saw it that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy among his people. There is no work that's true enough, but there is a day where you You really have to atone for your soul. It's a day of fasting. Alright? Nothing to do with feasting. If it's a Sabbath, you eat, don't you? Do you eat on the Sabbath? Do you? Yeah, you eat on the Sabbath. So a Sabbath day of rest, on the regular, normal Sabbath that we all know as God pretty, it's a day where you don't work, but you can eat. And relaxed. But this, or 10th day, it's a day where you don't work, it's still considered a Sabbath. Alright? But it's a Sabbath where you afflict your soul. No feasting, no eating. Now this is one exclusive Sabbath. It only happens once in a year, and it's exclusive. So it's not the same as the others. Alright? Okay? And you can go to Numbers chapter 29. A little more time, finish off. Numbers 29 verse 7. And you shall have the 10th day of this 7th month, a holy convocation, and you shall afflict your soul. You shall not do any work therein. Alright? Just to make you doubly sure you know where it is. Okay, so the 10th of Abib, let's go back to Abib. The 10th of Abib, okay, the 14th of Abib, and the 16th of Abib. They are all working this. They can never be Sabbath. So now, but the year that after the flood, since the sun and since the earth no longer revolve around the earth 360 days, it's 365 and a quarter days. So now what happened to the calendar? Here we all have 30 days, right? We all have 30 days. So now, since by looking at the chart, we have the first day from the in the book in Abib, from what we already calculated and look at it, by virtue that the Bible said the 14th day was a Passover and 15th day was a Sabbath. And also that 49th was a Sabbath and 50th day was a Sabbath. Okay, so we know that these are all fixed Sabbath day. Okay? Right? Now, here in from the month of Tammuz to Elul, there's nothing mentioned about any Sabbath there. Okay? But we can know when the Sabbath fall on the day. But now the calendar goes to the first month. I mean, the first of 7 months. The Bible does say the first of Tishri is the day of blowing of trumpet. The feast. Okay, of Jehovah. And it is a Sabbath. So number it must be a Sabbath. So we put the number one, first day of Sabbath. So the rest of this must be a Sabbath, isn't it? But now when we come to this 6th month of Elul, it ended on the 30th day. So if the 30th day ended here, which happened, let's say it lines up with Wednesday, Tishri comes in on the Thursday, isn't it? If we put Tishri over here, it has to be a Thursday. But then there would be something wrong, isn't it? But lo and behold, since it's a Sabbath, it has to follow the Sunday from Elul. Okay? But you must add 3 days extra over here. 2 days on the 12th month. You got this point out here? So by adding 3 days here, because there's 365 days, the calendar. So you have 3 days here, so mean now the first of Tishri will be a Sabbath. That's a Sunday. So it is here, isn't it? So when it ends on the 12th month Adar, it ends on the Thursday. But you have that 2 more days, so that when it comes to first of Abib, it will have to be a Sabbath. You got it? It will be back to Sunday. So every year, the Sabbath will shift from Saturday to Sunday. Then from Sunday, it will shift down to Monday. It will shift because of the two Sabbath days on the 49th and the 50th day. Counting from the Passover. You all get it? You understand, don't you? Can you see not the? Can you not understand the chart? These 3 days are added in, so that you can see that there is a proper running of the Sabbath day. Furthermore, how many Sabbath are there in a year? How many Sunday do we have in a year? 52 Sunday, right? Yes or no? So it's 52 Sabbath in a year. But here you have one more. So it's 50. How many? 53, correct, 53. But you know what? The Torah is divided into 54 parasha. Okay? So why do we get that? It says 54. So you have 54 reading of that parasha on Sabbath day. But how many Sabbath day do we have on this calendar? 52 plus this one here, 53. That's one more. Where does it go? This one here. The Day of Atonement. So all together is 54. So when they're divided right, they got 54, and they're actually 54 separate right there. Huh? Do you get it? So therefore, another question is, since the earth move or revolve around the sun, 6 hours extra in a year. 6 hours extra in every year, right? Because there's one day extra, it's 364 and a quarter days a year. A quarter is 6 hours. That means every day, you know, is extra maybe, but just around 59 seconds longer after the flood. So how does it compensate? So what happened after 4 years? Do they inject another one day into it somewhere? That one I have no idea. But I was thinking back then when they count day. They don't count day the way we count day with all this timing and things like that. Huh? What is that word? Sidereal timing. So how do we count time then, back then? They don't have clocks, or we do have, they have sundial, maybe. When they see the sunset, that's a day. Setting now, a new day. Or a sunrise, you know. When they look at a sundial, you know, okay, this is noontime, you know. They never say, okay, this is 12:30. No, they don't have this 12:30 stuff. 6:30. No, we don't have 6:30. Only we have 6:30 here. You know, that's all we think. So how then do they reckon that timing? By the every day is about 59 seconds extra. You see? How does it run? I have no idea. But the fact is that this we know. Original time when God gave when in creation is 360 days around the sun. 24 hours, perfect timing. After the flood, everything's gone. The earth till that is 365 and a quarter days. God then gave them a new calendar when they came out of Egypt. What happened with their calendar? Completely lost after they had it for something 100 years when they went over into Babylon. When they came out of Babylon, what kind of calendar did they have? They have a 345 days calendar. That's why we told you on the other chart. They have 365 days calendar, and every 3 to 4 years they have to add a month. You know. Oh, what a mess! So, by virtue of looking at this calendar, we understand that there is no such a thing as a weekly Sabbath. The Sabbath is not fixed on a fixed day of the week. The Sabbath is fixed on fixed days of the year. Got it? And those days cannot change. No matter what, it will never change. But today, the calendar is all messed up. And the trouble is that people get lost in the wickedness of their life, and they completely forgot about God, and so everything is very messed up. And the same thing about with us today. If we don't get ourselves lined up with the Word of God and think about our future, what is to come in this life after this is over, And if we think that this life is nothing, that we are just an animal, that all animals live and die, alright? Then that's okay. If you think that you are animal, live and die. Enjoy yourself, then why do you want to go to church and come to church and be a good man or woman? Go and do something rotten for once or twice. Or maybe treat them for the rest of your life and die like animals. You know, but we are not. Our intelligence are higher because you know there is a high power up there who give us this intelligence to recognize that we are not an animal. We don't come out of nothing. And we are created in the image of God. There is a deep calling to the deep to fill this void in our life. You see. And so don't get also messed up until the Jews today, even so when they came back to Israel. You have all these different groups. You know, they have different interpretation. And really they are messed up. And God gave us the gospel, and the churches are also messed up one way or another. So all we have to do, remember, come back to the Word of God, come back to the Apostolic Father's faith, line us up, let the Lord's Spirit stir us up, walk in the life of God, be Christ-like, and so on, preparing ourselves for His coming. Amen? God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank You, then, for Your grace today, for the Word of Truth, Father. We are learning, Lord, and understanding the hidden truth, word that was given once to the saints of old, the faith, but Lord, because of sin, the people are wandering around, Father, not knowing the word of truth. But we thank You, Father, for restoring us back to the faith. And help us, therefore, Lord, to be grounded in it, to learn as much as we can, Father. And we ask for Your grace, continue to abide in us and feed us, Lord, strengthening us for the day that is to come, knowing, Lord, what lies ahead of us. So, Father, Your grace, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.